I'm just thankful for God's freedom. Hallo julle. Pas getroudes. Are you enjoying marriage? Great stuff. Awesome. Ons sê hulle smaak lekker breed en dit is nie net die worship wat amazing was nie. Yeah, it's a great privilege to share this morning with you guys, and it's just, I'm a bit overwhelmed myself, so thank you, Lord, for just helping me out and just leading me. Thank you, Lord, that as your word says, that may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, these words, I just give myself to you, and I pray, Lord, that you will bring forth a message through your spirit. That'll, as we prayed this morning, that it will not be intellectual words that try to stimulate the mind alone, but that faith will be built by your spirit and power, and your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, that brings the vision here in the hearts, Lord, and sorts us out and helps us as we surrender our lives to you, as we bow our knees and as we say, at your word, Lord, at your word, Abba Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, that's just like his presence is quite evident, and it's a blessing that God comes and he just spends time with us, and he knows where we're at. So if you don't feel like rolling around on the ground, or you don't feel like jumping up and down, or you're thinking, what is this people on? Give God time. He had the key for my heart. And it came in a bar, predominantly, where he met me. He came into my darkest dark place to come and get me out of the place of darkness. And he had an awesome plan with me, and likewise he would with you. And I believe it's also seasonal. He might have ups and downs, but take heart because he knows us, and he will go after you. That you know for certain. There's no escaping God. Praise God for that. But anyway, let's move on. We're doing a couple of part series. We're not sure how many yet on prayer. And the reason for that is very simple. You'll remember, and I'm, as I usually do, I am going to refer back to one or two things I said this last 2 weeks, because some of us weren't here, firstly, and then secondly, it's good, I feel, just to always remember and try to remind ourselves, what is God busy doing? It's not a hit and miss type of thing where this week he says that, next week he says this. We're trying to see what is on God's heart for the season for our church, not only our church, but even in our country and worldwide, because we're part of a much bigger body. Church life is not shofar table view alone, believe it or not. For the hardened fans, there's a lot of guys out there as well, and we form part of a much bigger body, and it's good to know, Lord, where do we fit in, and what's your heart for us and with us in this time? And we just had, at the end of last year, and I remember when my aunt said it, and I spoke to Pietri, and we just discussed that God's heart is really firstly to disciple us, and then also for us to disciple other people. It's a pity Gerard is not here, but he said such a great thing one evening. He said, we need to rub off. And my question is just, on who are you rubbing off? And there's good ways of rubbing off, and there's not such good ways of rubbing off, but I trust that we're going to be the good rubbers of going out there, wherever it's either in the business world, or it's out where you're going to do your studies, or it's here, or it's out on the road, it's in your family, but where are you rubbing off? And then the question of what are you rubbing off? What is the thing that you are imparting? What is the thing that you are blessing other people with of a Christ-like lifestyle? And what is the fruit they are seeing? And how do we get that? And I think it's maybe a bit of back to basics for myself and for you guys. But luckily it came through in the first service this year, where I was lucky enough not to preach at all because God was just moving. And I think three guys just said that the Lord really has his word, his Bible, his living word in his heart, and that we need to get stuck into that. Get to know him in his word. So that's one way we're going to grow. We're going to trust God that we dig into his word. And secondly, prayer. It's something I love. It's something that we say to each other, what comes up in your mind? I think 2 weeks back, I said, what comes up in your mind when I say pray. Some people might be just a staunch religious thought. Or they'll remember opa of oma, but segen, father segen, dit, and just maybe saying something, and sorry, I'm not mocking, I'm not trying to knock or mock. But the thing is, we've got weird and wonderful ideas of prayers. I know some people that they actually don't believe in God. I know family members that seriously, they're not too big on Jesus. But still, we do pray for our food. So there's just absolutely no connection. I'm just curious to understand that. Bottom line is, what is your heart towards prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is in fact just communicating with God. And it's quite important that we do communicate with God if we want to be in relationship. Without communication, how far are you going to get with any of your relationships? We're going to use all these nice cliches and say that, oh man, we're a family, we're a church family, we're such a happy church family. But if we don't communicate, we're not much of a family. There's a fair amount of communication that goes on in my family. It's not all too good all the time, but we are working on that. But at least there's communication. And so we grow and we get to know one another. We get to know our likes and our dislikes. We get to know the places where there's trigger points, and where not to go and where to go, etc. But you know the deal. Likewise, if we say, I've got a relationship with the Lord, I'm a Christian, do you communicate with Him? And if I say prayer, do you like that thought? If you said to me, need to be very careful now. If any of us are in that stage of our life where we're fondly in love with our spouse or the person whom we're going to marry, and I tell you, well, you need to chat to them or you need to communicate with them or you need to spend a couple of hours just chatting. I don't need to bend your arm to do that. It just comes spontaneously. In fact, even the hardest of men will giggle at the thought of just spending that evening with his beloved and spending some time in communication with them. In other words, it comes easy. You don't have to put the cart before the horses. And likewise with the Lord, I believe if we taste something of God, if we taste Him in prayer, if we taste Him here, if we experience Him truly, and we hold fast to the principles of His Word, that we'll get to love prayer if we don't love it already. One last thing before we move on. And I think it's very, very important to remember that, is that one's understanding of prayer varies in accordance with one's conception of the two parties involved. Now, that is just merely saying my thought, my heart towards prayer will just be based on who I am and who the God is that I'm praying to. My picture of God and my picture of myself is very important in prayer. And that's why we said to each other 2 weeks ago, how do you see God? How do you see God? I jokingly said, some people say, well, my prayers feel dead. And I said, well, maybe you're praying to a God that is dead. Sounds hard or harsh. It's not the heart. It's just saying that sometimes the devil comes in and steal. And maybe you've been hurt in that area of your picture of God. Now, luckily for us, the disciples saw that Jesus had an awesome prayer life. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's what we're doing. We're doing this series and we're saying, Lord, please teach us to pray. Where are we going? We're going into the Lord's Prayer. Even that in itself is something, if I read it sometimes, I'm like, oh, it's almost you're having a tug of war with the religious spirit. You're just trusting God just to get to the essence, get to the heart again of the Lord's Prayer. But in that is gems. In that is the heart of prayer for us. And just on identity, what did Jesus say? He started off, and that was our first sermon 2 weeks ago. And He said, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father. And that's where we got stuck, Our Father. And that was, and it still is, if you haven't heard it yet, that is my question towards you guys and even myself, is that how do you see God? How do you see a Father? And do you have the privilege, like Jesus, to see God as Father, as perfect Father? I quickly said, and you can fill in the blanks in your own life, but it does have an effect. It's not meaning that if you didn't have a father or your father neglected or there was absolutely no communication or in fact sometimes much worse with your own father that you can't have a prayer life. Nonsense. No. It is not. But it's a good place to go look and say, because I don't like prayer. I don't like communication. How can you say he's a father, etc. But if those type of emotions comes up, let's just go and check. In my own life, my father was awesome, great communicator, but him and my mother got divorced, so he didn't stay with us at home. In other words, I can communicate with God, but it's here and there. I spoke over the phone. I think we started to SMS way back in the day. No WhatsApp whatsoever. We SMS'd, spoke a bit, and then every second weekend I'll see him. Now and again, even more than again, he would come and visit in the evenings and just say hi. Long story short, I started to get to know God as a good communicator. I can hear God's voice, but I'm struggling just to know God as Emmanuel, God with me, because that wasn't the father I had. And now I'm just giving that to God and saying, Lord, help me with that. Your perfect picture, may that be my picture, because that'll help me in prayer. And that is just my conviction towards you guys. Let's just lift it up to the Lord. You don't have to go to a psychiatrist. You don't even have to come to chat to me, but just give it to God and say, Lord, if there's a glitch, if there's an issue with my father picture of your father heart, help me, Lord. And if I don't see you like Jesus saw you when he fervently and effectively, powerfully prayed, Lord, have grace on me and just come and help me out. Very important. So our Father is quite important. Last week we just said, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. I said, when we pray, whose kingdom are you praying about? Is it truly God's or is it your own? Not to be too staunch or throw the baby out with the bathwater. Remember, you're his son and daughter. You are part of his kingdom. So it's a bit of a gray area, but just ask the Lord, Lord, help me, because I've seen that my prayers are much more effective when I'm partnering with his kingdom than when I'm trying to vigorously strive and build my own. By the way, those prayers doesn't work really. But as soon as I build his, it's funny enough that mine, not that I have my own, just falls in place. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? And the rest shall be added unto you. So don't worry about these things, but we'll look at that today again. Let's quickly read through the Lord's Prayer. We're going to do I'm going to give you a heads up, but we're going to do a bit of exercise. Maybe not today, because I don't think we'll have time, but in the weeks to come. Maybe in cell, maybe at church. But as we read through it, trust God to make up your own words. Therefore, you should pray like this, Our Father in heaven. Just take that sentence and say, and now try to make up your own words that you pray to God. You guys are looking as if I'm a skynut onderwyser, and I'm not. This is not maths, and it's not difficult. It's just to punch through. If there's something in our heads, if there's a bit of a religious groove there that we just punch through and get to the heart of the prayer. That's all we're saying. We're saying, I'll say, for instance, in Afrikaans, Abba Father, wat in die hemel bly. Well, I'm not saying your name be honored as holy. Yes, Here, u naam is net amazing and u naam staan bo alle ander name. What am I doing? I'm just saying, I'm just getting to the heart. I'm just trying not to be a dictaphone, but I'm rather trying to be a son of God. That's all I'm doing. We don't have to do the exercise now. I'm just saying, in the weeks to come, let's just, and we're not going to have our own new little Lord, the Lord's Prayer. No, we're just punching holes in seems like an old poem or an old song, and we're just getting its heart back. That's what we're doing. Your kingdom come. Lord, Abba Father, the way you do things, Lord, I want that to be happening in my life. Lord, how do you do it in heaven? Please show me how to do it here on earth. That's it. Just quickly, I remember joined a massive church in Cape Town many years back, myself and Edna. We'll get in there and there's everything. There's music, smoke, there's everything. And God was there. Please do hear my heart. Amazing, but it felt like thousands upon thousands of people worshiping and freaking out and going after God. And I could, for a couple of Sundays, I could just not connect with God. they were just, everybody was just enjoying themselves, hands in the air. And then sometimes I'll just try to fake it until I make it. And I'm like, yes, Jesus, you're here. And there's just nothing. And I like stuff quite real. So I just decided, I just sat down. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, whisper to God. And I started, as these people were just freaking out and worshiping God and meeting Him in their own way, I just sat down, kept quiet, waited. So I started to whisper to God who I think He is. I just whispered, Lord, I love you. Thank you, Father God. Even now, I just sense the Lord. And in that moment, the sea of masses of people were just worshiping God and just going off their rock. I was just sitting there, felt a bit stupid, whispering to God. But that was just, it was just a moment where I just met heaven. That's what I'm just trying to say is, guys, let's just not read the thing. Let's not just pray the thing. Let's just think. Another example. I'm actually going to start this sermon just now. Another example, if on a Friday evening, I pitch up at home with a Hawaiian pizza, red roses, and the DVD Along Came Polly. Put the kids to bed and I say, hey, surprise, Ed. Pizza, flowers, movie. And she's like, oh man, this Oluk, it's amazing. Date night, Oluk, amazing. And then we enjoy that and I get a lot of brownie points. What if next Friday I rock up at home with what? An Hawaiian pizza, red roses, and the DVD Along Came Polly. Edna might think, well, I think it's deja vu. Deja vu? Deja vu. And she'll like nod and smile and say, thanks, love. Let's have the pizza because pizza is always good. Thanks for the roses. You're making up for many years where I've not received them. But she'll probably yawn through the movie. What happens if the next Friday, 3 weeks in a row, I rock up with what? An Hawaiian pizza, red roses, and Along Came Polly. Where am I going to lose Edna in this whole thing? You see what I'm getting at? Why am I doing that with God? Here, dankie for my dag. And I'm not mocking prayers. Just hear out the heart. No, I'm treading on hoender eiers hier, but let's just double check what are we doing. This year, I just started off the year and God just convicted me of a certain time that I need to get up and spend time with Him, which I'm doing. But I moved from out of the office and I went to go sit outside with my coffee and my Bible. And it's cold, but it's just that shift brought a massive effect in my quiet times. I'm not thinking emails, I'm not thinking you, I'm not thinking anything. I'm just out doing something else. And that's what my heart is towards you guys. When we look at the Lord's Prayer, when we're thinking prayer, when we're thinking church, let's just knock over a couple of these things that has become so mundane and maybe just become a bit like a wine pizza, red roses, and a long camp poly for 6 months in a row. Get the heart? You hear what I'm saying? So I can't tell you how you're going to get that with the Lord. You need to trust God to that moment of whisper. And I'm not saying stay away from church, stay away from cell, or don't read your Bible. Don't be too out of the box. Be out of the box, but not too out of the box. I need to be a bit pastoral here as well. Be out of the box, but be godly. That was just a side. Quickly, let's read through the Lord's Prayer. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've seen how if God's kingdom comes, it's the best for me, just by the way. You can test it. Please do. Don't take too many years. You'll get to the same answer. So the quicker you decide if God's kingdom comes in my life, it's the best for me, the best time of your life is still ahead then. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go do that exercise. Go read through it. Go take out and make up your own words to God and see where that leads you in prayer. Today we're going to stand still. I had everything planned to finish up today. God had other plans yesterday. He said we're only going to stick to this one verse today. So that's what we're going to do. We can go on to the next. Thank you. Give us today our daily bread. We like to be wie van vars gebakte brood. I love it. I don't think my maag is so mal daaroor nie. But I love it. Varsgebakte brood is dan net something else. Now, in the word, and we've spoken about food before, in the word, it challenges us many a times where it speaks of literal food, real food, the stuff that I've been having at UC, to be in great shape. that was a joke. And then there's spiritual food as well. Now, taking it in context of prayer, we've said, Lord, you're our Father. We know you're holy, Lord. Lord, we see in heaven you reign, but your kingdom needs to come to us. And you call forth the kingdom in your lives. And then we get to a place where we now say, Lord, give me today my daily bread. How many of our prayers do you think many a times go up for our own needs or just for simple needs? Many? In my life, definitely. I've heard a couple of guys say, and one specific guy said it's been a couple of years since he's prayed for his own needs. Had to pray for himself. He's constantly praying for other people. He was not saying that to be boastful. And I'm like, Lord, I'm so far from that. Here hou ons veilig. Here thank you for dit. Here thank you for that. Here nog hiervan. Here bietjie minder daarvan. Dankie Here, 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 Here. And there's nothing wrong with it. Here it does say, God, give us today our daily bread. But how many times do we unfortunately run around this specific area of prayer and ask for that as well? Frida and Sophia, maybe a good example in our home. They constantly ask for stuff. They constantly ask for things that they do need. But I believe in prayer and in our relationship with the Lord, there comes a place of growth and maturity where the focus becomes less more of my DVD, my speelikie, my OTs, my dit, my speelding, my dit, my this, my that. Sorry, Sam. To a place where you start thinking where you're growing up and you're saying, Lord, what is the other stuff that I can pray for? Give us today our daily bread. Now, we're firstly going to look quickly at the literal meaning there and of physical bread and the physical needs that we have. Because I think we'll be a bit stupid if we get too spiritual and totally neglect the fact that some people go without food and are hungry and die of hunger still in this world, which is quite shocking. And that is just the heart that Francisco shared with us earlier. Because I think we can, even as church and as church family, get all super spiritual about it. But the thing is, if the family that we know is not eating physically and are down and out physically, then it is quite difficult to many a times just give them spiritual bread and trust God for spiritual food. And not there only in their lives, but in our lives as well. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the whole story again, but when we moved out to Malmesbury, we were there for 5 years. We were both, myself and Edna, without proper jobs and obviously without salaries, meaning that there is various needs. I remember when we rocked up there, she didn't leave her post at Melkbosch Private, and I was still an attorney in Tukai. And one day I distinctly remember how I walked out of Spar as I just paid for something and thought, well, we're actually well off. Financially, we're really well off. I didn't know what season we were heading in. Long story short, we both were out of jobs with Frida just born. And now I had to get to know God and get to know His Word and His provision in this season. And for me, it was quite a stretch because many a times you'll say to somebody, you'll hear that, oh, don't worry, God will provide, God will provide. But it's one thing saying it, and as I jokingly have said before, it's one thing sending that email to 10 or 7 other people that God is good, or just forwarding that Ola Kaprinki with God will provide, God will feed where He leads, and or just sending that stuff on and sending it to 7 other people. That there is a place for that, but it's another thing going through that and sitting at a place where you actually don't have the money. Well, you've got $50 now. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow and the next week to come. And in fact, it's the 5th of the month and it's quite far from anybody blessing you at the end of the month. You hear my heart. And there was a place where, by God's grace, it took me into prayer where I could start praying for stuff. and start praying for the daily bread. And I remember, and I just thought, I actually SMS'd somebody that I know. They used to say that they're just God's boodskapper. But then they'll phone me, and we'll be down and out. And we didn't say anything to them, but the Tani is quite prophetic. And she'll phone me up and say, Retief, wie nie gebo ons het raai kom maak nie. And I'll get on my scooter, and I'll scooter over to them, and I'll get them. She'll give me a kuvertie, and she'll give it me, and say, say. And then she'll just say, ek is net die boodskapper. I'm just a messenger, but God sends you this. I'll get home and I'll go through it and it'll be like 5,000 rand. And being a lawyer and thinking that I'm going to become a fairly hotshot lawyer making enough money, it was a weird situation to be in where you need to constantly trust God for provision. And then these moments come, or another lady will phone you up and they haven't asked anything and they don't know who it is. They'll phone you up and they say, "Kumak op my dry." And you'll stop at their home, you'll walk in, and there in the living room will be about 12 packets of Checkers food. And then you get to a place where all of this becomes quite relevant and becomes quite real, because I think sometimes we'll be in a situation where we'll pray, "Lord, give me my daily bread," but we have no idea what it is to be without bread. And in fact, I was never in that place where I had nothing and no bread, as you can see. I would have probably been in a different shape if I had no bread for a couple of days. But you hear the heart. It is something else where you definitely need to say, "Lord, please help me with my daily bread." And I think that's where Francisco's word that he brought is just so relevant, that we just remind ourselves of the other people that do go through that. That aside, God provides. And it's so nice. Well, at first, it's humble pie. But when you go in and you get that stuff, and it's time and time and again, and God just comes through. Or where you've, even sometimes, not only bread, but how he just provides for the things that you really actually want or would like. We drove from Malmesbury to Azefontein one afternoon on our way to my mother. She was still living in Azefontein. And we drove through Darling, and there's a very nice restaurant that's got pizza. And we jokingly said, "Well, imagine Oskondaghet. Imagine we can have supper there this evening. Lord, that would have been awesome. Ha ha ha." No issues, no regrets in our heart. We're loving the place. Well, loving. But we're stuck in the place that God's led us to. We know it's a season. We know that he's doing something and he's busy with something bigger. So we just don't have the cash. And we just stick it out. So our hearts weren't even bitter towards God. We drive through, stop at my mother's place. Friends of ours rocks up. They've done a quote. He's in business. He just did a quote for somebody in Azefontein. They stop by and they pull up with it. They've got a nice Golf GTI. They pull up and we just chat about. And as they get in the car after their coffee, the guy asks me, "Is there like a restaurant here around?" In other words, "Is there a nice restaurant around here?" We say, "Yeah, there's quite a couple. I thought they would like to go to a restaurant." He says, "Okay, cool. Because I believe God gives you this to go have supper tonight." And he gives me $300. Now, so some people, this might look like a stupid story, but for me, it was just like, he knows me. We didn't say anything to them. We drove through Darling. We stopped there. We had a coffee. He said, "Well, I just believe God gives you the $300 and you should have supper tonight. Go eat out." And you're like, God, you're a good father. Now, immediately you might think, "Oh, don't waste 300 rand on, no, God is God. If he gives you that bucks to go eat out, go eat out. If there's any issues or emails afterwards, I'll deal with them. But I'll rather say that just now. He does not have too little. But we had to be in a place where he can set that up so that we can get to know his character. And where he gave us more than just bread. And that was just really awesome. Just a last testimony. Let's look at Matthew 6. We're still thinking prayer. We're still thinking the Lord's Prayer. We're still thinking, Lord, we want the heart of this because we want to be a people that we want to be called a house of prayer. And God, Jesus, you taught us, give us today our daily bread. And we're talking literal bread. And now we're at Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. No one, by the way. You can try it and be the first in history, but Bible says no one, so you might not get to serve both. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? We skip a couple of verses and we go on at verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? I think that's, quite frankly, the question marks that hangs around in our modern day society. That's what a lot of things revolve around. If you just walk into a mall, if you just have a chat, if you just go on social media, it's many a times that and a fair amount of sex and sexual explicit stuff. If you throw that into there, that's more or less what happens out there. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. And it's one thing to read the verse, it's another thing to see how God manifests this truth in your life. And I can really testify, not once, not twice, but many, many, many a time, how God just testifies of God just manifested this testimony in our lives. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So ask God for your daily needs. Also ask God, Lord, what do I actually need and what do I want? And putting there in brackets that God many a times blesses you with much more than just your mere needs. He is a good God. But we need to take that to him, and we need to be able to trust him daily. And now for the good stuff. Let's go over to the spiritual food. The stuff you guys are actually here for. You're not here to know about how to get well-dressed or what you should eat or what you should drink necessarily. You're here for the spiritual food. So let's just quickly read this. Here's this three parts of scripture that I just want to allude or bring to your attention. Just the way in which the scripture refers to food in spiritual form and how we need it. I jokingly said the other day, you'll note when I start to stop eating physically, you'll probably note it. It'll be good for a couple of weeks, or maybe a couple of months. And then I'll get to a place where you start worrying, start praying, and then you just say goodbye to me. Likewise, as I said before, spiritually it's the same, guys. You'll note in what I share, you'll note in the way I speak, you'll notice in the way I operate or act or relate to you, that I think he's probably stopped to eat spiritually. You might, and I think it might not be months, it'll be days, and you'll note, well, hey, we've got a new pastor, Ochana McInnes, where's Retief? Bottom line is, if we don't eat spiritually, the same unfortunately happens. Let's look at spiritual food. John 4:31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So he's just knocking on the doors of their hearts. And likewise, I believe God is constantly doing in our lives, in a world that is really driven about what you see, about what is here, material, right now, and very little of what is spiritual and what is heavenly and what is long-term. I think it's a good thing to just allude ourselves to this again. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And obviously, we want to know about it. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? It's almost like a stupid joke in a movie. They're just totally missing it. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Weird. As I'm standing here, I believe I'm eating. Does that make sense? I'm doing the work that God set out for me today. I'm eating, I'm feasting, I'm going to walk out of here quite stuffed if things go well. Whatever you share, whatever you do, whatever the work is that God has set out for you today, and you accomplish that, you're going to eat spiritually. Obviously, you don't need to be active as well. I'm not saying that. Hopefully, you get edified by the word of God as well. But what is the things that God is challenging you in your life? I almost threw in a men's camp ad now, but I think that's manipulation, not the spirit. So, I won't do that. But to you, no, I'm joking. I'm not saying that. But what is the thing that God is asking of you? What is the awesome work that He's planned for you that'll be food to your spiritual body? And it's not only work. It can be worship, times in prayer, etc. Isaiah 55:2, back in the Old Testament, let's look at where God refers to food as and spiritual food as being necessary for us. Why do you spend money on what is not food, or your wages on what does not satisfy? In other words, why do you go through so much trouble in life? Just eat and be merry. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. And then just lastly, just to look at spiritual food and the way in which God obviously sees it. John 6:27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. God is not saying lay hunger. He's not saying don't eat at all. He's not saying do not work at all. But He's just saying, let's get our priorities straight. If you spend your whole life on something, what would it be? Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him, God the Father has placed the seal of approval. And from there, we're just moving on to Jesus. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, we know that if we're not strengthened physically, we're going to die. Lord, please give us bread. And Lord, in fact, thank You, Lord, that You give us more than bread. By Your grace, Lord. Lord, You know our needs. Please help us with our needs, Lord. As Matthew 6 said, God knows what you need. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And now going into overdrive, going into the spiritual. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Lord, give us today our daily Jesus. Why am I saying that? This is the awesomest, most awesome picture that Jesus Himself testified to. And that is found in John 6:32. And you'll see it right now. John 6:32. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Now Moses, that refers to the Old Testament, Exodus. They moved out of Egypt. Just to quickly look at what it says in the Old Testament. We don't have time to look at the story. Israel was moved out of Egypt by God. Moses led them. Here they were in the desert without any food. Believe it or not, no McDonald's drive-through, no BP Quick Stop shop, no Woolies Foods. No, not at all. Not even credit cards to buy the stuff with. In other words, here was this whole nation of Israel out in the desert without any food. God comes and what does He give them? He gives them manna. Now you can read up. I read how it tastes and wavery, and it's quite nice. We're not going to go into the detail of that now, but God provided for them to eat manna. That in context, let's read verse 33. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. For the bread of God, guys, if there's anything that you remember today, this is it. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to Him, sir, give us this bread always. They're thinking bargain. They've just been fed. 5,000 men, women, plus women and children were just fed. It was awesome. They had fish. They had a big party. It cost them nothing. They're thinking, we want this always. That's like you can go buy at Woolies on somebody else's bill of reckoning. They said to Him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger. You have to come to Him. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in Me shall never thirst again. Quickly, verse 48, it's not on them. I'm just going to read it. I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. In other words, they had that supernatural yet physical food and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that the one that may eat of it and not die. Speaking of himself. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Verse 33, we need to take home. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. When I'm praying, I'm trusting God to teach me how to pray, to really connect with him in prayer. And I ask him for my needs, and I ask him for my bread. I need him asking, obviously, for my physical bread, but I ask him, Lord, may I have my daily Jesus? And let's just, I believe there's a massive, cool parable and connections between the manna and Jesus. And we're just going to look at one or two things before we close down. Firstly, the manna was obviously straight from God. Straight from God in a place where they really needed substance and they would have died if it wasn't for God giving them the bread. And likewise, we would die spiritually if it wasn't for the life's bread, Jesus Christ, from God. Exodus 16 verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And what did he do later on for us in this day? He again rained down living bread, substance for life, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life for us. So, firstly, is there a correlation between Jesus and the manna? Definitely, because Christ said so in John 6. Let's move on. Lord, give us today our daily bread. What happened with the manna? How often did they have to pick up manna? Did they go buy bread once a week? Did they deliver it twice a week like the milkman? No. They had to do it daily. Exodus 16 verse 4, that's the rest of the verse. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. So they had to get their manna daily. What do we see in the Lord's Prayer? What does Jesus say? How do we pray for our bread? How do we pray for our... And I just... Forgive me for saying, but my piece of Jesus today, how do I pray for that? Give me today my daily bread. Give it daily to me. Do I eat of Jesus once, get born again, and not touch him ever again? It's relational. I need to eat of Jesus. I need to eat of his truth. I need to be reconnected because it's relational every day with him. Likewise, they were gathering the manna daily. There was just enough nourishment for them physically daily. And likewise, we need, if we see this picture, spiritually as well. Exodus 16, verse 19 to 20. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. Funny enough, imagine that. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Again, funny enough. God was faithful. He said, hey guys, get your daily bread. Get your daily manna. Don't keep it for tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have again. Come and pick up tomorrow again. They decided, to walk out on my doorstep to pick up manna. I don't want to do all of that tomorrow again, so I'll just get enough today. Ritifa, you know, I really enjoy cell and I really enjoy church, but this whole thing of daily, it's just, you know, I'm busy. I've got a life, eh? So I just eat enough on Sunday and I just eat enough at cell and then I just jump and I just survive from one to the other. Cool, though. But it's going to miff. If you try to keep it, it's going to miff. Obviously, just remember, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek as well. There's definitely correlation and a picture here. But go and test what we share as well, so that you don't get confused. Bottom line is God uses it as a picture to show us the need we have for Him. We need the need we have for Christ. Do you go gather daily? Another nice picture that we see from the manna in Exodus and Jesus today is that God said, go get it early in the morning. Pick it up early in the morning. Otherwise, what happened? Let's read in Exodus 16, verse 21. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and then the sun grew hot and it melted away. So the manna was there supernaturally. They went out in the morning, gathered it, took it in enough for the day because they had to do it daily. And then as the sun came over, it melted away. Why did God do this? But in the finest of detail, He's just showing us something of Jesus to come, of the bread of life that is to come. Be very careful here. I'm not saying that if a massive thing happened in the morning, you just could not get to Jesus. That if you pray after 12 in the morning or 1 o'clock just after lunch, He will not pitch at all. That's not what I'm saying. I just believe God is painting us a picture. He's just showing us something and saying, this is the heart. Maybe this is the best way in doing it. How many of you have tried and you're so busy in the morning, especially if you've got kids, and then only later on, say on a Saturday, 10 or 9 or 10 or 11 o'clock, try to do your quiet time? It's just not always. For me, it's just not the same. Whereas I get up before the kids wake up and I can catch what God wants to give me. Please, this is not a law unto you. Trust the Lord that He will lead you. But I believe there's much shared in this picture of how we can go get our daily bread. God woke me up. We were staying in Cape Town. And it hit my heart. But one Saturday morning, I didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep late that much, but at least 7:30 would have been late for me. But I got up very early to spend time with the Lord because I had a very busy week. So say, for instance, it was 6 o'clock or something. And I got out, got onto the stoop. We were living in Cape Town in a flat on the stoop. And down the common garden is just below, but it's not far. And there was a small bird with just this massive worm in its mouth. And it just dropped in my spirit. Guess what? The early bird catches the worm. I said it was a bit corny, but it really worked for me. And I just realized, and I sat down, and I had a quiet time, and I had the most awesome time with the Lord. But that's just maybe His challenge to one or two of us. If you come and grab your manna early, you might just catch the worm. Before we end, the fourth thing is enough is enough. This is the first time I saw this. And it was so amazing. And in fact, it was quite amazing for Edna. But I need to tread carefully again. But read here, Exodus 16, verse 17 to 18. Where are we? We're just quickly stopping. Where are we? We're talking prayer. Jesus said, this is the way you should pray. He said, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Now we're looking around bread and we realize, well, God did this before in a picture that refers to Jesus in the manna He gave in Exodus. So just to keep our head screwed on of where we're at. And let's read here. I'm saying enough is enough. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much. In other words, they went out and they gathered all the manna that they can cry. Let's just uitgefreak. Have you ever seen that trolley runs that you can either do in Pick and Pay or Toys R Us? You've got 1 minute just to throw everything in that you can possibly get. Now, just imagine, free food. Some people would be like that, just freak out, and they just buck in. Other people might be a bit lazy, and they didn't do that. Some gathered much, some little. He who gathered much did not have too much. That's just not, in the Western mindset, that just does not make sense. I've got a lot of money, but yet you, funny enough, don't have enough. I've got very little money. Yes, sir. Well, funny enough, you do just have enough. It's just like our God's physics is just trumps our worldly physics. I love this. He who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. For me, the heart is two things. Firstly, is that it's not about how much you do. Tick the box. Gouester, but how many points? No, it's not about how much. It's just that you take. And I'm not saying, klimmer, restore that tannenborstel, thank you. Walking up, going to get your clothes and just saying, yes, more here, who's it? Thank you, here, lekker dag. Cheers, there I go. No, it is not as colloquial as that, I believe. But there is a thing that it's not as if you go and say, I spent 4 hours on my knees. And then you get better bread than the other guys. I shared this with Edna, and this is the second thing that I think is important. She's in a season of her life. I remember she tells me stories where she bunked class and would pray the morning through till 11:30, where in the night God will wake her up 3 o'clock in the morning and she'll intercede for her courses, for her res, and pray for hours on end and then just sleep out the next morning. But there was hours of prayer and intercession and just meeting with God was just awesome, and she really misses it. She's got 2 kids. She wakes up and it's like, there's needs, there's church needs, there's that, there's my needs, there's social, there's friends, there's a lot of stuff. She does not have that ample time. But I believe that's quite a key for her year. If you're very busy and you're saying, Lord, but I don't have quiet time. I don't have time for quiet time. I believe maybe this is a picture God shows us, that just have your bread. You need not finish the whole loaf. You have 6 foot longs to eat. Just have your bread. It will sustain. I don't believe God's telling us, hey, be lazy, don't get stuck in, do as the Spirit leads you. But I'm just saying, if you do not have the time, just take a bit. Some gathered much, some little. He who gathered much did not have too much. He who gathered little did not have too little. Eat your daily bread. Eat your daily bread. He will meet you where you're at, I believe, in the seasons you have. Second last thing, the manna was easily accessible. They just stepped out. They didn't get into the car. They didn't drive around. They didn't wait for the shop to open. It was easily accessible. And I believe there's something that Christ is so accessible. I think there's some people that will kick their behinds one day and they realize how close Christ was to them, how close the true bread of life, the true substance of life was actually to them. Exodus 16:13-14. In the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. Quite easy. I think many moms probably think, I wish dinner came that easily. But unfortunately, it doesn't. Jesus is quite close, and he's a prayer of humility and faith far from us. Last thing, now really the last thing. The manna, and the picture of the manna is that the manna gave them everything they needed. And I believe, I know, that the bread of life, Jesus Christ, is everything that you need. That includes both the physical, material needs that we do have, found through Christ, but especially spiritually. He is enough. I can't tell you how many times I would prepare a topic and it will always come back to Christ. I haven't planned it. I haven't thought it through. But if I just start digging into the Scripture, start praying around a subject, whatever it is, maybe an asterisk to that, but almost whatever it is, always gets back to Christ. The bread of life. They didn't have steak. They didn't have prune juice. They didn't have McDonald's. They had manna. And yes, I know they weren't all that happy with it always. But it was enough. It was more than enough. And it sustained them for 40 years. John 6 verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. When we pray, let's pray for our daily bread. Let's close. Thank you, Father God. We We're trusting that you break open and take us into new territory and show us new hidden things, and in relationship with you, teach us to pray, Lord, effectively for your kingdom and effectively for our lives, Lord, and to grow in our relationships with you. Lord, and as we see you through your word, Lord, that we've got physical needs and we lift them up to you and we say thank you that you already know of them. Thank you, Lord, that as we as a congregation are all well fed, Lord, and we thank you for your provision daily, that you supernaturally provide physical needs. And I pray, Lord, that where there is still need in our congregation and the people that's part of our family, Lord, I pray and I thank you for provision. There's a couple of families that's specifically on our hearts, Lord, and we just thank you for physical, material provision, Lord, in their lives. But then, Lord, even more than that, Lord, we pray that, Jesus Christ, that you'll fill us and feed us with yourself daily. There's no stock standard way in which this comes, but I just pray that we will go look in the mornings, we will go look during the day, we will gather the manna, we will gather what you want to teach us on a particular day. We will gather through your word, we will gather in worship, we will gather in prayer, we will gather in fellowship, the food, the bread of life that you are to us, Jesus. Spirit of God, help us with that diet. Help us to eat and to be full. I also pray for the grace to discern when I am spiritually hungry and when I'm spiritually full, because I believe maybe we don't even always know that, Lord. Help us to read the signs. Help us to know ourselves, to get to know you, Lord. When I'm bone dry, dead, hungry, when I'm empty, and when I'm well fed spiritually. Jesus, teach us to eat of you. And then, as we eat, we will not hunger again. But teach us and show us how to, as we get our daily bread, how to share our daily bread, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, with others. And we pray for fresh bread daily. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, Lord. Amen.